Like I was introduced, my name is Anna, and it's been a little over a month since I moved to Itaewon. I can't believe that it's already been a month. So that means it's also been a little over a month since Marcus and I, Pastor Marcus and I, have been married. And you know, a lot has happened over the month, and I remember when, like this is a couple years ago, like 3-4 years ago, I got an email from Pastor John Michael. He's the campus pastor for Shilim. And in his email, he sends like a prayer update email. And in his email, he said this one line that has stuck with me like over the years. And I remember I was like, oh, I'm going to keep this until I get married. And it was this sentence of like, he sent this email a little over a month when he got married. So he said, being married is an interesting experience. It's a good experience, but I realized that being married, going from single to marriage, is the same thing as when a person accepts Christ and they become a new creation in God. You have to kill the single life and come and step into your new identity as a married person. And that kind of stuck with me because I realized, like, being married for a month, wow, you have to kill your single life. There are certain times in the beginning I would, you know, we were all hanging out with friends, and then I'll be like, bye, guys. Oh, Marcus, yeah, let's go home. I just, like, forgot. I was just in this state of, I'm still single, you know? And then when we're sleeping, like, I'm like, why are you so close to me? Like, I'm not used to sharing the bed. Like, please, I don't like touch when I'm sleeping, you know? Like, I would forget. And I didn't realize that it's so true. When you step into being married, you have to kill your single life in order to act as a married person. And it's so similar to when we accept Christ and we become believers and we cast off our sinner self and step into the new creation that He calls us to be. And I feel like for some of you, you guys need to hear that. When you confess of your sins, repent of it, and profess that Jesus Christ is the only way, you are letting go of your old self. You're letting go of your old thoughts, your former ways. And your identity is no longer linked into sin, but your identity is a new creation. A creation that is made in the image of God. And for some of you, that's for you. You're not defined by your sinful ways anymore. You're one that is a powerful man and woman of God. You are a new creation. But the thing is that Christianity doesn't stop with this one confession and repentance. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Now I believe in you. It doesn't end with that. Christianity doesn't end with one prayer, one salvation call, but rather Christianity is a relationship. And it is where we are called to be in constant communion with the triune God. It is one where we are called to walk with God. I want everyone to turn with me to Galatians 5. And I'm going to read for you chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. Chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. It says here, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Everyone say, keep in step. Keep in step. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I'm going to read verse 16, 17, and 25. Just listen. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Today, I want to talk to you about the topic of keeping in step with the Spirit. You know, in different translations, it says, let us follow the Spirit. Let us walk by the Spirit. Let us be guided by the Spirit. I want to read for you the Message translation. Now, the Message translation is written by Eugene Peterson, and he's an author that took the Bible and wrote a translation in a way that young people can better understand it, okay? So it says here in the Message translation, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, you and I, when we say, God, I believe in you, Jesus, you're the only way, this is the life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that translation, that really hit me. It says, make sure that if we have chosen this kind of life, we don't hold the idea of the gospel in our heads or something that we just think, oh, it's a nice feeling in our hearts, but we work it out to every single detail of our life. And I believe that the time for us has come to confront our faith. Do we really believe the things that we believe in? Are we living in the way that the Bible tells us to live? Are we ordering every detail of our life so that it reflects Christ? Now, these are questions I'm not just throwing at you. I had to walk through these questions myself. Am I really ordering every single detail of my life so that Christ is glorified? And I had to check myself. Man, is this something that I'm only holding as an idea in my head or a sentiment in my heart? You know, the Bible talks about those that only hold the gospel as an idea or a sentiment. Oh, it's cute. Let me pick and choose what I believe in. This is convenient. I'll hold on to this. This, I kind of don't like it. I'll throw it away. You know, Thomas Jefferson cut out certain pieces of the Bible because he didn't agree with it. That's scary. Maybe some of you didn't ever say these kinds of words, but your actions conveyed it. The Bible talks about these kinds of people, and they say that these kinds of people have an appearance of godliness, but denies its power. These kinds of people are lovers of pleasure, but not lovers of God. Lovers of comfort. Lovers of convenience, but not lovers of God. And the Bible tells us to avoid such people. You know, there was a time where I was tested. Time where I was confronted with my faith. And it was a time, many a times, where I failed in college especially. You know, living by my flesh, doing what I want to do. But there was a time where I was tested so hard in my life. And that's the time I got punched to go to Busan. And Busan is one of our church plants. And I remember when Pastor Christian, the term punched means not punched, although I felt punched. But punch means it comes from like, I guess, a college sorority, where a sorority or frats like sees a freshman and they like that freshman and they approach that person saying, hey, do you want to consider coming into our frat? Do you want to consider coming into our sorority? And that term, that exchange, is called punched. Okay? So Pastor Christian punched me to go to Busan. He said, hey, I'm punching you right now. I want you to pray about going to Busan. I was like, stop laughing. That's pissing me off. Are you serious right now? And I remember within those 3 weeks, I went through waves of emotions. And the biggest thing that confronted me was God asking, Anna, now is the time for you to really act what you believe in. Do you really believe in me? When you sang, God, I exalt you. I want your kingdom here to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Did you really mean that? When you said, when the music fades, all is stripped away, do you really believe that you're going to come into my presence and I'm the only one worth living for? Do you really believe that? And I was confronted with the things that I said and I did believe in, but I felt like he was testing me. Is that just a cute idea in your head? Or are you willing to make the cost and the sacrifice and go? And that was one of the few times that I walked by the Spirit and said yes. Now, there are other times I walked by my flesh, especially when I went to Busan, and I would whine and cry and why am I here? But within that time, I felt like God was really confronting my faith. Are you willing to quit your job? Are you willing to move to a city where you don't know anyone? Are you willing to go to a place and search for a job and even go through a possibility of being unemployed so that I may be glorified? Do you really believe that? Or is that just an idea in your head? It says here that if this is the life that you have chosen, a life of the Spirit, then we must work out its implications in every detail of our lives. So what does it mean to work out its implication in every detail of our lives? It means to be filled by the Spirit. It is to be spiritually mature. It means to be obedient in God, walking by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. It means letting go of our pleasures, our comfort, our convenience, and being lovers of God. Now, I know that this is a tough message to kind of hear, and not necessarily a feel-good type of message you want to hear from, you know, your newly established campus pastor. But look around you. There's so many things that's happening right now. So many things that's happening all around the world. Russia, China, Greece. Things that's happening at New Philly. And the reason why I bring this type of message is so that we as people of God can live a life in step with the Spirit rather than our flesh. So that we can be seen as lovers of God rather than lovers of ourselves. Walking in the Spirit implies living in the Spirit. There must be a core of spiritual life before there can be any spiritual motions and movements. I want to say that one more time, okay? There must be a core of spiritual life before there can be any spiritual motions and movements. Meaning right now, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get to the core of who you are. I don't care about your actions or your emotions or your behaviors because those are things that I do not want to control. Rather, I believe that as I get to your core, your character, the very essence of who you are as a person, that will naturally overflow into your actions. Galatians 5:16, the first verse that we read says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The word walk in this verse is the Greek word peripateo, which means to walk with a purpose in view, walk with an end in view, walk with a vision in view. So when we are called to walk by the Spirit, we are first called to walk with the vision in view. And I hope that we as people of God already have that vision in view. Eventually, we know that Jesus is going to come back, right? We don't know the time, we don't know the day, but we do know that he will come back. And within that time, walking as people of God means walking so that who he is can be known here on earth. That's the vision in view. That's the purpose in view. So how do we walk in the Spirit? How do we walk in this way? I want to give you three key ways that you can walk in the Spirit. The first one is that the walk is a progress. It's a progress. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, "Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress." You know, the word immerse, it means to involve deeply, absorb. So when people get baptized, they get baptized. We do, in New Philly, we do a dunking baptism. We don't do like a sprinkle baptism because, you know, it's all right. I got sprinkled. But dunking baptism, it just symbolizes that when you go in the water, you are completely submerged in the Holy Spirit. So that everything about you, your entire body, it is surrounded by the Holy Spirit. That's what immerse means. So when you are practicing these things, when you are dunked all around, surrounded by the Holy Spirit, you are able to walk forward in power and in confidence, and people will be able to see your progress. A couple years ago, before like I even came back to Seoul, I was in Busan. I remember I went to a New Philly retreat, and then I became a small group leader. And one of my small group members at the retreat was Pastor Jasmine right here. Jasmine. And that's the first time I met her. And she did not look the way she does now. Like, she the way she introduced herself now, she's like, "Hello, my name is Pastor Jasmine." You know, like, but the way she introduced herself then, she was like, "Hi, my name is Jasmine Duff. I feel like God is telling me, I'm not sure." You know, and I realized that after talking with her for just a weekend, she had a lot of fear. She confessed to me that there's this fear that really grips her life. And because of that, she's unable to see certain things. She's unable to feel the love of God. She just felt so fixed in fear. But look at her now. Can you see her that she's a woman of fear? No, she doesn't walk like that. She doesn't even dress like that. It is very obvious that she has progressed from this type of woman to a woman of God. To a beautiful, confident woman of God. But she did not get there overnight. Nor did we expect her to get there overnight. It's a progress. And I feel like for some of you, it is important that you know that it's a progress. Don't be discouraged. Don't be impatient. I used to be impatient with myself sometimes. Why am I not there yet? But I promise you, it says, if you practice these things, if you immerse yourself in these things, you will progress. You will continue to get stronger and stronger. So the first thing that you can do, how do you walk in the Spirit? Practice these things. Practice it. And know that it's a progress. Number two, I want to take us to verse 25. Galatians 5:25. It says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So in other translations, it says, "Let us also walk with the Spirit." Now, in verse 16 of the same chapter, it says, "I walk by the Spirit." And the word walk in verse 16 is peripateo, which means walk with a vision in mind. But the Greek word walk in verse 25 is storcheo, which means to walk with one step in front of you, another step in front of you, essentially walk step by step. It's not just walking with an end in mind, but the Greek word here, walk by the Spirit, take it step by step. So the second key point, how do I walk in the Spirit? Take it step by step, by step by step. You know, the Holy Spirit gives us detailed, clear instructions. And this is very evident in the Bible. Search all throughout Scripture. You know, when God told the Israelites, I want you to go conquer the promised land, He just gave them that vision. You need to go conquer the promised land. That was the vision. But He didn't just say, take the promised land, and then He didn't just leave them. He actually gave them very detailed ways of how to enter into the promised land. First, I want the priests to get into the Jordan River. The ocean will split. I want everyone else to follow. And then the first city that you're going to come into is Jericho. Now, when you get to Jericho, walk around it. No talking. It was very detailed. It was such, like, minute little details. Do it step by step. And when He told the Israelites, I want you to attack the Philistines, He didn't just say, go, attack. He said, I want you to go in their back, split your camp in half. One camp goes like this. The other camp comes around so that you're... it was so detailed. So when the Greek word here saying, take it step by step, He's essentially saying, hey, I want you to be in constant communion with me because I have clear, detailed instructions to give you each step of the way. Imagine if Abraham didn't walk step by step with God. When God said, I want you to take your son Isaac, sacrifice him to me. And He took that vision in mind and then killed him. Where would the promise of God be? It would be gone. But Abraham was a man that walked step by step with God. So within that step, he heard God say, no, don't sacrifice your son Isaac. You know, I went to a mission trip to India last winter. And there was a time, you know, in mission trips, it's a great opportunity for you to hear the voice of the Lord in ways that you've never heard before. So I remember Pastor Marcus, he was the team preacher at that time. He called up the team members to come and he was like, God wants to heal you guys here at this church, and my team members are going to come out and speak out a prophetic word. So team members, here's the mic. And I was like, stomach. I just kind of, that's the only thing I got, stomach pain. So I said, for those of you that have stomach pain, stand up. And different people stood up, so I was like, wow, it works, you know? I just got this one word, but it works. So different people stood up. And within that time, this one woman stood out to me. So I heard God say, next, go to that one woman. I'm like, okay. So I go to that woman, and I start praying for her. And the next thing I hear is, I want you to put your hand on her stomach. Okay. And I start putting my hand on her stomach. And she's receiving prayer. But as soon as I put my hand on her stomach, she goes, wah! I was like, oh, my gosh. And her reaction was so explosive, I honestly thought something else was going on. So I was like, oh, Lord, I bind whatever is not of you. But I found out later it's because God was touching her so deeply, right? So anyway, she just turns explosive, and then eventually we move on with the service, and then service ends, and then I'm on my way to the bathroom when this woman grabs me. And then she tells me, I got a translator, she tells me that for many weeks, she's had intense stomach pain. And her husband is not a Christian. And this was actually a church that we were meeting in secret in someone's house in India. And she was saying she couldn't say anything to her husband. Like, she couldn't even pray because her husband doesn't believe in God. And some people in India, they get persecuted, you know? So she had to keep all of that in secret. And she was saying, God, I have children. I have things I need to do. But I am in so much pain. Do you not hear me at all? But as soon as I spoke out stomach pain, she was like, that's for me. And as soon as I laid my hand on her stomach, she said she felt liquid just running all over her body. And that's when she started screaming. Now, this doesn't happen to me regularly. It was the first time actually I experienced healing power in my own hands. So I was like, wow, God is real. You know, like, I just get moments of that. God is so good. He's real. And as she was talking, I heard, I saw like another woman over here kind of lingering. Like, and I knew she wanted to come in. And then all of a sudden she interjects our conversation. She's like, I'm sorry. I heard you guys talking, but I have stomach pain too. Can you pray for me too? So I was like, oh, okay, sure. And then as soon as I was going to lay my hand on her stomach, God said, no. I thought that was like, oh, that's normal. It worked before, you know, like I'm going to do that. But God said, no, get that woman to pray for her and get that woman to lay her hands on her stomach. And as she prayed, that woman experienced healing and they both got amazed by the healing power of God. And I realized, man, if I knew that was going to happen before this mission trip began, I would have contorted it and tried to make it my own type of way, my own type of, look at what's going to happen, look at, you know. But God, the only thing he did was give me step by step. One book that really amazes me by the voice of the Lord is a book called Ambassador of God. I actually recommend everyone to read this book. And this man is a man of prayer. And there's this one time when his grandson has severe allergies. He has allergies about different types of food. And his daughter was so desperate that she made her dad go into a room, pray over specific types of food. And then each time he prayed over food and the son was allergic to it, all of a sudden his hand would go up. And if his hand went up, it meant that the son was allergic. So through this like relationship of prayer, it became very clear what the son was allergic to. God is so detailed. He is so incredible that he will reveal to us such specific ways in which we can hear the voice of the Lord. So how do you hear the voice of God? This is my key number three. Study God's word. I want us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I feel like we should all read this together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Are you guys there? Let's read it all together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How do we hear the voice of the Lord? By studying scripture. Why? Because all scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, for correction, and you know what it does? It trains us for righteousness. It trains us for righteousness. That means he teaches us how to be strong in God. He teaches us how to walk by the Spirit. He teaches us what is the way of wisdom and what is the way of evil. Do you want to succeed in your careers? Do you want to have life-filling relationships with friends? Do you want success in your life? Go to Scripture. Scripture teaches us how to live a righteous way. It teaches us from the left to the right and how to walk straight. It says here that the man of God may be complete. Now, the Greek word complete is another word for perfect or for fitted. And I felt like God was speaking to me by saying that scripture, it trains us, it molds us, it sharpens us. And as it does that, it fits us like a well-tailored suit. Perfect for every obstacle in front of us. Perfect for every task in front of us. Scripture trains us so that we may be complete. fitted for every good work in front of us. Why is it important to do this? Why do I need to walk by the Spirit? Yes, the times are, there's a lot of things happening in the world, and there's a lot of things happening here at New Philly, but why? Why do I need to walk by the Spirit? Because it says in Galatians 5 that the Spirit and the flesh are opposed to each other. They're constantly fighting against one another. That means that if you are not walking by the Spirit, you are definitely walking by the flesh. If you choose not to live by the Spirit, then you will walk by the flesh, and what you reap if you walk by the flesh is death. And my prayer for Itaewon, for this campus, is not for our community to walk in death. I do not want our people here to suffer and to go through hardships and death, but we need to walk by the Spirit. And when we walk by the Spirit, it is very obvious if we are walking by the Spirit. In fact, it lists us in chapter 5 how you can see. How do I know if I'm walking by the flesh? How do I know if I'm walking by the Spirit? It tells us in chapter 5, look at your fruit. Look at your fruit. What are you producing in your life? It says that if you are choosing flesh, you will walk in sexual immorality, sexual sins. You will walk in rage. You will walk in jealousy. Those are all signs that you are walking in the flesh. When I'm with my husband, I know if I'm walking by the Spirit or by the flesh. I remember when we came back from our honeymoon. Oh, man. It was like this 1 week of where I was constantly walking in my flesh. Like, honeymoon, there's nothing to worry about. You know, like, the maids come in and clean up everything for you. Like, breakfast is already on the table. In fact, it's breakfast buffet, so you can eat as much as you want. No one does dishes afterwards. But as soon as we came back home and started living together, I was like, why don't you put your cup away after you drink it? Why don't you put the milk back? Am I the only one supposed to make the bed? Am I the only one that cares about this house? Do you only care about Itaewon and not our house? And throughout that week, I could feel myself getting into, honestly, I'm being vulnerable here, fits of rage. I was like living in constant like anger. Like one thing that he does, I'm like, another thing, put the toilet seat down. You know, like, I was constantly angry. And after a week of living in anger, I can't take this anymore. I am exhausted. Neither, and I know I'm pleasing to God. You know, like, I was like, I need to stop walking in my flesh. So I had to repent. Husband, I'm sorry for being constantly angry. And I repented because I started looking at my fruit. Man, I thought I was walking in the Spirit. And these are right things, you know? It's things that I feel like all the women out here, you guys all agree with me. You guys, you know, you don't want to say that all the time. Yeah, right? But looking at my fruit, I realized I was in the flesh. And when I talk to my husband, there are certain times I talk to him and I look at my fruit and I realize, wow, I was walking by the Spirit. He feels good. I feel good. In fact, we feel honored by each other. Look at the fruit in your lives. Are you in sexual sin? Are you jealous of another person? Do you feel yourself constantly comparing another person in the congregation? Are you in rage and anger like I was? Are you compromising? Are you not walking in righteousness and holiness like the gospel lays out for us? Is the Holy Spirit governing every single detail of your life? Or is the flesh governing it? And I feel like that as we look at our fruit, we can tell. And if you see that the fruit that you've been walking in is flesh, then do what I did. Repent. Confess. And God will forgive. And as you turn, repent means I turn from this. I will never do it again. I don't want to walk down this path, but I want to walk in this path. I completely turn away from this. And I choose to walk by the Spirit, step by step, because I know that you speak to me. It's so exciting when God speaks to you. Imagine if God just said, bring my kingdom here on earth, and he gives us that vision and he ends with it. We would be lost and it would be boring. But he gives us clear, detailed instructions. Why? Because it is supposed to be life to the fullest when we live our lives with him. It's supposed to be an adventure. God is a God of creativity. He never does the same thing ever again. When Jesus healed the blind, he never healed the blind the same way. He is creative and he longs for you to hear his voice. And how do you do that? By reading scripture. By walking in power and strength because you are walking step by step in the Spirit. Let's pray.